Good morning. It's good to be here among the body of Christ, as usual. I'm so thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for your prayers on my behalf and in my travels and for the missionary outreaches of the church. It's been a blessing to be able to travel and to know that we have brothers and sisters here that are praying for us, and they're much appreciated and needed. I'm thankful to be among you once again. I just enjoy being with the body of Christ, wherever it might be. And I hope you can hear me. And my wife tells me I have a tendency to fall off. But you know, go like this, and I'll try to talk up. We're richly blessed in the Church of Christ, as I know each one of us know that, with the fullness of the gospel, with two witnesses of Christ, both in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and the realization and the promise that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we can stand on that wherever we are and open up the scriptures and recite the things that the Lord has written for us, and the witness that he's given to us, that we might know of the truthfulness of the things that are written in the Holy Scriptures, and that they pertain to us today, just as they did in times of old to them that heard it or saw it. We're so fortunate to know that the Lord has promised that he would establish his truth among the nations of the earth, that he would prophesy of all the things that would come, that he would let us know of future events and of past events, and that we have these things written before us for our edification and our strength. We know of the day and the time that we live. I'd like to turn to Timothy in the 2 Timothy in the second chapter. Let's try 1 Timothy in the 4th chapter. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, telling us that yes, in the last times, even the times that we live, and that there'll be those that depart from the faith. In 2 Timothy, in the third chapter, it says, starting in verse 1, "And this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, difficult times, dangerous times, times that we should be concerned about. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, blasphemers, proud, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, not able to control their emotions, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity, silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." I'm mindful of all those scriptures, but especially that last one, that ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Never able to submit ourselves and let the Spirit of God place those things in our heart that we're instructed. And we find those teachers, those things, that case in the world today. We're told that we're instructed in 2 Timothy, in the 15th verse, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're to study to make ourselves approved or available that the Lord might use us as an instrument in his hand to be able to express the promises and the hope and the plan of salvation as recorded in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 16 in the third chapter says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We're given instructions where to study, to make ourselves available, to be prepared, to rightly divide the word of God to those around us by the way we walk, by our countenance, by our sterling example of one who is of the body of Christ. To study, to be prepared, to stand and to witness and to testify. We can turn to the second Nephi in the Book of Mormon in the 11th chapter. You know, I enjoy, we all enjoy reading the Book of Mormon. I have a particular interest in the words of Isaiah in the Book of Mormon and how Nephi and the other writers use those things. If we stop and reflect that Nephi, you know, lived in Jerusalem and as a young man. He lived after the time of Isaiah, but he understood the context in which Isaiah was given. He understood the culture of which Isaiah was given, and then he uses it in the Book of Mormon, knowing that sometime in the future, it was going to come to us, and that these things that Isaiah read are for our edification, our learning, our spiritual strength, that we might know. And so I'm gonna read starting in the 12th verse. Nevertheless, in the days that the prophecies of Isaiah shall be fulfilled, men shall know of a surety at the times when they shall come to pass. Wherefore they are of worth unto the children of men, and he that supposeth that they are not, unto them will I speak particularly, and confine the words unto my own people. For I know that they shall be of great worth unto them at the last days. For in that day shall they understand them, and wherefore for their good have I written them. And as one generation hath been destroyed among the Jews because of iniquity, even so have they been destroyed from generation to generation according to their iniquities. I'm going to skip down now to the verse 25. Goes on, he says here, wherefore the Jews shall be scattered among all nations, yea, and also Babylon shall be destroyed. Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered by other nations. And after they have been scattered, and the Lord God had scourged them by other nations for the space of many generations, yea, even down from generation to generation, until they shall be persuaded to believe in Christ, the Son of God, and the atonement, which is infinite for all mankind. And when that day shall come, that they shall believe in Christ and worship the Father in his name with pure hearts and clean hands, and look not forward any more to another Messiah, then at that time, the day will come that must needs be expedient that they shall believe these things. And the Lord will set his hand again the second time to restore his people from their lost and fallen state. Wherefore he shall proceed to do a marvelous work and a wonder among the children of men. Wherefore he shall bring forth his words unto them, which words shall judge them at the last day. For they shall be given them for the purpose of convincing them of the true Messiah who was rejected by them. So we find that, you know, the day and the time that we live, some of this has been fulfilled. The words have come forth. We have them before. In fact, that quote from 2 Nephi, we know in Isaiah in the 29th chapter about the marvels and the work that would be done among the children of men. And so we have those prophecies and the assurances of God of the day and the time that we live and of his promises. We find that they recorded the second coming of Christ. We have two witnesses now, both the Bible and the Book of Mormon, testifying of those things. I'd like to turn back to Matthew. I want to bring it specifically to us today. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, they're wondering about when the Christ is coming. They're looking forward to a second coming, and you know he advises them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear the wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Wasn't going to be right then when they thought. For a nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrow. And he goes on. I'm going to skip down to verse 13. He says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Have patience. Be prepared. There's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations, but we have a need to endure to the end, to continue in our faith with a perfect brightness of hope of the promises of God. And he goes on, he says, before that second coming, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And that's the stage that I believe we're in right now. This gospel, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, is to be preached to the nations of the world. And we're seeing it fulfilled. The role of the Church of Christ today is to be those people to bring that gospel to the world, that they might have an opportunity to hear and to be a witness unto them of Jesus Christ. We're richly blessed in that regard. We have seen that we've been able to go out into the nations and the earth and among this nation and the peoples of the Americas and to preach. And the missionary outreach of the church has extended dramatically in the last 15 years. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. We have the witnesses and we have technical advantages today that we can reach out into the world, even though our number might be few. Most of our contacts today come from the website or off the internet, from our own friends and our missionary efforts here. We have missionaries going out within the United States and Canada, to the southeast, a lot of the men right from this congregation that go and travel in the southeast and Florida and Georgia and Mississippi and North Carolina and South Carolina and those places. There are men going to Ohio and New York and into Canada and the various places, Wisconsin, Iowa. And we need to pray for them, because that's the missionary outreaches of the church. This live streaming that I believe we're on today, a missionary outreach to the church. And our brothers and sisters among the scattered members and friends are able to hear the word of God preached from their homes or on the phone from the phone church. And whatever means that they have, the sites that are available as resources at for the AVA site, and you know, we can reach out, and we do reach out. We are able to send our word out in the mail and on the airwaves, as the case may be, and in our prayers and supplications. We find that in foreign countries, it's been changing. You know, Brother Plastito told us not too long ago, I don't remember, might have been here or somewhere else, but of the work in Mexico. Well, you remember when Brother Wheaton and Brother Yates and others went there. When they first went, it was illegal for them to preach the gospel. They had to sit down in the congregation or they would be arrested and be able to talk and everything. And young Placido witnesses to us now that the people are coming to the Church of Christ. They're coming from the other churches and they want to know what it is that the Church of Christ is teaching, because there is a difference and that they recognize it. And the word is growing now throughout Yucatan and into other places of Mexico. Our brother Nathan has been very well received. We're having blessings in Honduras, and I understand they're going to go to be Nicaragua soon, the Philippines, India, East Africa, the Congo, you know, Nigeria, Ethiopia, and this word is going forth. And they're all missionary efforts of the church. I want us to realize that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to partake in that work. We have a responsibility to participate in the reunions that we have. That we, you know, that there's brothers and sisters in other states and parts of this country or Canada that would like to see us there, to strengthen them, that we think about them, their body might be edified, that their congregation might be edified. So as we have the chance, as we come to conference this year and see the different announcements for the reunions, that we put those things on our calendar and we try to bring our families and our wives and whoever else might go and travel to some Idaho or Colorado or Michigan or Minnesota, or wherever the reunions might be, some reunions outside the country that we've been invited to, that we go as part of our missionary outreach to them, and we will be blessed. And we'll be able to come back into our own congregations and witness and testify of God's working among the children of men and of the Church of Christ. So I want to encourage us to do that. I want to encourage us we have made an announcement. Our brother made an announcement here of the services we have next weekend. We're going to have prayer service on Friday and Saturday. Opportunity for us to come together and to pray for the work of the church, to pray for the missionary efforts of the church, to pray for our individual and collective congregations wherever they might be. That's our service, our witness to be there, our chance to serve God, to come to the conference, to participate wherever we might be, to prepare ourselves, to reflect that we're there to do the work of the church worldwide. What an opportunity that the Lord has given us, and a responsibility to have an opportunity to come together to do the work of the Lord. All the ministers here, I want to encourage you to come to the ministers' conference right after the general conference. You might notice the agenda changed. We're trying some new things, and we want to encourage each of the ministry to come and to participate and to learn and to discuss things and strengthen our efforts worldwide and individually and collectively, that we might be strong and have a desire to reach out to those around us in our own communes. I think I've got some slides here of one of the things we have learned that we have been successful in reaching out to the poor of the world. Anybody know how I turn this on? Okay. Isn't that pretty?
So I hope it's up there.
I love those trees. I was in East Africa recently. Sue and I and Dwayne and Kathy Ely were able to go to East Africa for the month of February. And here's Dwayne preaching. Here we are, one of our normal services there. This happens, I believe, to be in Tanzania underneath a tree. Beautiful spot. Spot that the Lord prepares for services such as this. Some of the most edifying services I have been in have been underneath trees. Some of them in this country. I went to a prayer service down at the co-op years ago, and it stuck with me. It must have been 30 years ago. The Spirit of God was there, and He's there wherever we might come. Here's another one of Tanzania. The man standing there is Michael Umwa. We call him Michael T. He's the only minister. He's an elder in Tanzania, the only minister there. There's 25 congregations that he has to minister to. Pray for Michael Umwa. He's a treasure. The Lord has directed him. Here's some of the youth there that were singing, I believe. Another service in the Karabakari, typical again. This man that's standing is the leader in that particular congregation. He's a retired school teacher. He taught for 40 years. Here's another congregation in PETA. That building really does look like it's going to fall down, by the way. And they actually are planning on building another one right next to it. But we're waiting for the congregation. First man over here is Elder Moses Uhuru from Kenya, was traveling with us. And that next man is Michael T. We're waiting for the congregation. We're singing. The man in the suit in the background is John, the leader there. As we were sitting there, this was happening in the field behind the church. This 4 or 5 year old boy was herding these cattle, and they were causing problems. But it was typical of those things that happen right around us as we meet. This is Michael T. and his family, his wife, Rahelma, and their 4 children. Live out in the middle of nowhere. There's no road, there's no electricity. I am marvel at the fact that the Lord has brought the Church of Christ to places like this. It's only through Him. You could never even find the village. I couldn't. It's a blessing what the Lord has done and how He has prepared the hearts of the humble and their desire to believe. This is we're building a congregation here. This is Moses again and the children sitting there quietly during the service. It's absolutely amazing. They've kind of spruced it up a little bit on the windows by putting a cloth on it. They haven't quite finished the building yet. Here are 4 young girls that were interested in Kathy and Susan. And so they were coming and checking them out. It's a congregation in Tanzania, one of those that doesn't have a road to it. It's, we call it two rocks because of a two-rock rock formation on the other side of that building. Dwayne and I are walking up here to place in the trees where we're going to have a service and going to be preaching. Later, we'd go down and eat in that house. And the culture of Tanzania is, and for that matter, East Africa, they're going to give you the best that they have. They're going to put everything that they can think of on the table. And they want you to eat as much as you want. It's all for you. You got to know, however, that it'd be nice if you leave some because the rest of the congregation is sitting outside waiting. But, you know, and they have a my wife is going to kill me right now. But they have these delicacies that they eat, you know. And they put one of these delicacies on the table, and Moses Uhuru quickly pushed it aside where we supposedly couldn't see. And I asked him what it was. And of course, Sue wanted to eat it. And there she is. She's eating a fried ant. And they were quite good, actually. Sorry about that, Sue. But here's another congregation. We're back in Tanzania. I happen to be preaching. Elder Moses is translating everything. Sometimes in some places of Tanzania, it has to be translated twice because the elderly people only speak the Luo language. And so it gets English to Swahili to Luo. This doesn't happen to be one of those. Here are the children again, just sitting there quietly. We're in a congregation in Geneva, this little mud hut that they've built by themselves. The roof is in need of repair right now, but the congregation took it upon themselves to build it and meet there. It's probably 20 by 10 or 15 or something. It's a small building. This is typical. We were in a hotel. This is in Tanzania, very close to Lake Victoria. We were looking across our road, and these gals here and children are, this is early in the morning, they're going down to a river or have just come from a river to pick up their water. Most of their water is carried on their head by youth. I don't know exactly, but they're expected to carry 40 pounds on their head by the time they're 10 or something like that. Strong neck. Here's the market, open market in Kisii, Kenya. This picture doesn't do it justice because it's a madhouse. And that's how most people shop. This is a family our brother there is Paul. He's a teacher in the Church of Christ. He's of the Maasai tribe south of Kisii. This is a picture of his son and his wife, Esther, and some of their 15 children. And they have a school there. Now, this is taken a year ago, last May. It's Bob and Jennifer. They're the school that they have at their congregation, preschool, I should say. A lot of kids. They were being taught in English. They sang to us in English. They're younger than primary school. Sue and a new school teacher here and Esther and one of the daughters. One of the things we did, we had leaders' meetings in each district, both in Tanzania and in Kenya, where we got the leaders and the ministers together and studied subjects together in an informal manner and trying to get them to encourage them to comment. They are very well read in the scriptures, both the Bible and the Book of Mormon, ask a lot of good questions. And I'm amazed when I ask them for references, the references that they come up with. They might be different than the ones that we use, but they're excellent. I'm writing them down. I'm learning as much as they are. This is This is Margaret Mora on your right, and her grandmother. She's 90-some years old, a really sweet woman. Not a member of the church. She's a Seventh-day Adventist, but a supporter of the church. And this is her home. That's how they might. It's made out of mud and sticks, and they wallpaper the walls with newspapers. Some of the local kids. Again, you see a lot of kids. This is another, actually, this is in Tanzania. Moses Uhuru, Michael Otero, and one of the members in Katembe. This young couple here. Now, one young lady is a example of the babysitters in Kenya. You see that little girl on her back? She's in charge of that little girl. She will watch out for that little girl. She'll feed that little girl. She'll hold her. Anything that little girl needs. She's a little girl herself. And time again, you see that they're left with somebody like that, and they actually do a good job. Or the big sister comes and helps, or the brother or something. Mom's out working in the field with dad somewhere, and so that's a necessity. Last couple pictures I've gotten here is of India. You might have read Brian McIndoe's recent blog about the beach congregation. This is the beach congregation. This is Brother Jacob there in the white chair. The congregations in India, it's right on the coast of the ocean, the Sea of Bengal. You can walk from here to the Sea in Bengal. We do our baptisms in the Sea of Bengal. One thing that this is the local drummer, and he's very talented. He uses all three of those drums. They do get the youth to participate. Here's another congregation. Our membership in India is very poor. Most of their homes, different than Kenya, most of their homes have electricity, however. The English have done a good job there of bringing electricity, and the roads are good. But these people are, most of them work in the large plantations, rice plantations. And they're among the poor. Majority of our members in India are unable to read. They were not allowed to go to school. They might be what would be termed as a lower caste. That's not true today for the young ones. They're all able to go to the church or go to school. It's another colorful place here. And so that's my last slide. I just wanted you to get an idea of, how do I turn this off? Of the work in East Africa in particular, and the people that we're able to reach. And most of them are poor, not all of them. They're all very humble, and we're mindful of the scriptures that are written. We find that in the fifth chapter of Matthew, for example, in the fourth verse, blessed are the, third verse, Sermon on the Mount. Wonderful reading. Everybody ought to study it a couple times a year. It was brought up at Sunday school this morning. Sunday school, I really enjoyed, by the way. Telling us to look within ourselves and to reflect when we read the scriptures, to reflect within ourselves if we're putting these things to practice in our life. And that's really one of the things I'm trying to bring out into our service. We're successful at reaching out to the humble and the pure. But we're all to be humble. We're all to yield and submit. You know, there are those that might be forced to be humble. I'm going to read that scripture out of the Book of Mormon. But the blessing is for each of us that we humble ourselves before the Lord. Verse 3 of chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Another thing a brother talked about in Sunday school is we must forgive others if we want to be forgiven of our sins. We find that that makes a change, that demands in us a change of heart. We can turn to the Mosiah in the 119th verse and 120th. You know, I love this verse. I use it quite a bit. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yields to the enticing of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh as a child submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. Naturally, we're an enemy to God. Have been, always will be, unless we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. Unless we yield and allow the Holy Spirit to direct us in our life, to become changed, to allow him to speak to us, to give him time to speak to us, to meditate upon it, to make ourselves available to him in prayer and supplication in quiet time in our day. Unless we do that, we're the natural man. We've got to yield and submit. In the 8th chapter of Romans, reflects on verse 6 through 8. For to be carnally minded is death, lest we yield. For to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But it says, but ye are not in the flesh. But in the spirit, we have to yield to the spirit. We have to allow him to direct us in our life. We can go to 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter and read something similar. 'For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.' We don't just receive those things. 'For they are foolishness unto him.' You know, naturally we think we're above those things. We're taught to think that way in our schools. 'Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, those that yield and allow the Spirit of God to work among us, we are able to judge all things, yet he himself the judge of no man. 'For who hath known the mind of the Lord, but he may instruct him? For we have the mind of Christ, those of us that yield.'" I'm going to read from the 16th chapter of Alma. I'm going to read some of the story of Alma and his brothers and others going out to the Zormanites, people that had been taught in the church and and had broken away and had left for whatever reason. And I want us to remember that Elma knew we were going to have these. And it talks to us about the Zormanites and the way that they their religious practices and how they put upon by the poor and turned them away. But I want us to reflect on why that teaching might be for us. 16th chapter of Alma. I'm not going to. Verse 85. Actually, I'm going to start a little before that, I think. Verse 85, for behold, if Adam had put forth his hand immediately and partook of the tree of life, he would have lived forever according to the word of God, having no space for repentance. And also the word of God would have been void, and the great plan of salvation would have been frustrated. The reason that didn't sound right is because I was in the 19th chapter of Alma. And I wanted to be in the 16th. Again, Alma and his brethren, they went among the Zormanites because they had heard that they had turned away from the Lord. Starting in verse 85 of the Alma 16th. Now the Zormanites were descendants from the Nephites. Therefore they had the word of God preached to them and chose not to follow. But they had fallen into great errors, and they would not observe to keep the commandments of God. Think about ourselves. We've been taught. Are we keeping the commandments of God? He's using this as an example here, but it's for us. His statutes according to the law of Moses. Neither would they observe the performance of the church to continue in prayer and supplication to God daily, that they might not enter in temptation, yea, and find they did pervert the ways of the Lord in very many instances. Therefore, for this cause, Alma and his brother went to them. We know the story that they found that they worshiped in a different way. They had a stand in the center of the sanctuary, and they all went up one by one and praised God for how wonderful they were, and praised God for the blessings that they had bestowed upon them and nobody else. And then they got down, and the next one went up, and they did it. They did it one at a time for the sake of I don't know what. And then they left. And they didn't think about the Lord again all week until the next Sunday. And then they came one by one and stood up and praised God. I want us to reflect upon ourselves. This is for me. I have to reflect on myself. Am I praising God every day? Am I allowing the Spirit of God to work with me, to humble me, and to change my heart, that I might possess the charity we talked about in Sunday school, that it might be instilled within my being, that it would change my life to such an extent that I would be a different person and would be able to be used by God for his purposes. Every one of us have been called out of the world for some reason. We're here among the body of Christ. We're either a visitor or we are members of the Church of Christ on earth. And we have the opportunity to feel the Spirit of God, to use it within our lives, to allow it to reach out to others by the examples that we set. We find that as Alma was preaching here, I'm going to read some of Alma's prayer. Verse 102. And he lifted up his voice to heaven and cried, saying, Oh, how long, O Lord, wilt thou suffer that thy servants shall dwell here below in the flesh to behold such gross wickedness among the children of men? He had a sorrow for them that had turned from the Lord. Behold, O God, they cry unto thee, and yet their hearts are swallowed up in their pride. Behold, O God, they cry unto thee with their mouths while they are puffed up, even to greatness, with the vain things of the world. Behold, O my God, their costly apparel, and their ringlets, and their bracelets, and their ornaments of gold, and all their precious things which they are ornamented with. And behold, their hearts are set upon them. And yet they cry unto thee and say, We thank thee, O God, for we are a chosen people unto thee, while others shall perish. Yea, and they say that thou hast made it known unto them that there'll be no Christ. And he goes on there, and he continues to petition the Lord. He continues to pray that they might be able to be used to witness, and to, that they would have the patience and long suffering to be able to have strength to minister unto them. He approaches in 111th verse, O Lord, wilt thou grant me that I may have strength, that I may suffer with patience these afflictions which shall come upon me because of the iniquity of this people. O Lord, wilt thou comfort my soul and give unto me success, and also my fellow laborers who are with me. Will you comfort their souls in Christ, that they would have strength, that they would be able to endure, that they would have a desire to go out. And it goes on in the 120 verse, the Lord heard them. They were able to go out and preach to them. They had the experience that when they were preaching them, a crowd of poor that had been put upon, that weren't allowed to come to the church because of their clothing or their financial state. And Alma recognized the fact that they had been touched by the Spirit. And he turned to them and began to preach to them. And the preaching was fruitful. And he said in verse 134, And now because ye are compelled to be humbled, blessed are ye. For a man is sometimes, if he is compelled to be humbled, seeketh repentance. And now surely, whoever repenteth shall find mercy, and he that findeth mercy and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now I say unto you that because you are compelled to be humble, ye are blessed. Do ye not suppose they are more blessed who truly humble themselves because of thy word? Yea, he that truly humbleth himself and repenteth of his sins and endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed, yea, much more blessed than those who are compelled to be humbled because of their exceedingly poverty. Therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble. Or rather, in other words, blessed is he that believeth in the word of God and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, yea, without being brought to know the word, even compelled to know before they will believe. So we're instructed here to humble ourselves before the Lord, to reflect about these things that are written, and to put them to practice in our life, time and time. You know, the scriptures teach this. We go to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, and it tells us the same thing, to put on Christ, to be not conformed to this world. Let's read that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're to present ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. We're to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. We're to put on that new person that the Lord wants us to be. We're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Goes on and lists things, but it's the change that we need to be able to make in our heart, in our life, that we might put on Christ, that we might be an example, that we might show our faith by our works. I enjoyed the Sunday school thing and the armor of God and the kids up here with their shields and all that. It's one of my favorite, and their enthusiasms. Those they come up here and they're enthusiastic. They're enthusiastic about David and Goliath, how David had faith and what he was able to accomplish. And that's how we're to be. You know, that we're to remember those things and know that, you know, David had struggles in his life, but he had the desire to do good, and he had to repent many times, just like we need to repent and become renewed and be in accordance with the teachings of Jesus Christ, that he might use us as he used David, that we might slay the Goliaths of the world and the false doctrines and things that are out there drawing our people in the world away from Jesus Christ. You know, we see the emergent church in the United States, the mega churches that are, and you know, it doesn't make any difference what you believe. You can just believe in anything as long as you're satisfied. Well, that's a false doctrine. That's not of God. You know, and it's being manifested now. We have an emergent church of the atheists that they meet on Sunday to witness that they don't believe in God. You know, it's growing in Europe and United Kingdom and Europe and into this country and Austria. You know, they meet for fellowship. They sing songs. They talk and tell stories. But there's nothing about Christ there. They're completely lost. And so we have to reflect on ourselves. Do we believe the words of God? Do we believe that he is? Do we believe that he created all the things in heaven and in earth? Do we believe that he's unchangeable? Do we believe that it's only through Jesus Christ that we can receive salvation? Do we believe the words of Jesus Christ and that he doesn't change? And are we putting him to practice in our life? Are we allowing the Spirit of God to dwell within us and to have rule over us, or do we set it aside? Scriptures tell us not to neglect the gift that's been given to us through the laying on of hands. We've all that have been baptized have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It abides with us. But we have to call on it. We have to yield and allow it to direct us in our life. I'm always, I have a scripture. It's in that I'm going to read because I think it's good for all of us. It's good for me, if nothing else. 22nd chapter of Luke. The apostles are talking and they're deciding on who's the greatest among them. And the Lord is admonishing them. You know, And the Lord turns and he says to Simon, 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 behold, Satan has desire to have you. Here's one of the apostles, one of those that walked with Christ, you know, that he had called out of the world. Satan has a desire to have you, and that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, he's talking to Peter, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. I've always thought that to be an odd, knowing all the faith that Peter had. But he's talking to us today. And he's saying that he's praying for us and that we're converted. Strengthen thy brother. You know, we find and we read the scriptures and we know that, you know, Peter denied Christ three times, just as Christ told him he would. And yet, you know, he became converted. He became a different person. He was quick to stand. You know, on the day of Pentecost, he's the one that stood among those that were mocking him and saying that they were drunken. You know, they didn't realize what was going on. And he stood among them boldly and preached the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. When they asked him what they needed to do, he said, repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. And this promise is unto you and to all that are far off. And there was like 3,000 added to the church. He was converted. He not only believed in his mind, his mindset changed. And he wasn't worried about if he was the greatest or anybody else was greatest. Christ was the greatest. And that's the thought that we have to have. It's the thought that was brought up in our Sunday school this morning, in fact. And it's the Lord is working among us as a people. He's blessing us and allowing us to go out into the nations of the earth. But each one of us have to become converted. We have to allow the Spirit of God to direct us, to make that change in our heart that we attend the services when they're called, that we participate in the activities, that we seek those that aren't attending with us, that we go out after the lost sheep, that we pray for the ministry, that they might have the time, the patience, and the Spirit of God to direct them when they counsel, when they discuss, when they go forth in their missionary efforts, wherever it might be, that the church might be whole. We need to pray for ministry in each of the congregations, that the church might be whole. Pray for the men of the church, that we might yield, that we might allow the Spirit of God to overrule in our life, that we might be converted, that he might be able to use each one of us for his purpose, and that we put aside our purposes, our direction, those things that we want to accomplish in our life. I'm talking to myself, I realize, and I hope I am edified by it. I hope you are, that we take these things, that we look at the scriptures that are provided, whether they be in the Book of Mormon or the Bible, wherever they are, and to recognize. He's not talking about just the things that happened in old times. He's talking about us, that these things are happening among us now. And where do we fit? How can we reflect and change our life to have the mind of Christ, the mind of a servant, the mind of the do the will of the Father among all things. And so that's what we're called to do. That's the message for the day. I'm going to close with this reading of hymn number, not reading of a hymn, a scripture. 10th chapter of Alma. 27th to the 30th verse. And now, my brethren, I wish from the innermost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that you would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. I'm talking to myself, I'm talking to each one of you, brothers and sisters, as Brother Jensen used to say. But that you will humble yourselves, or that we will humble ourselves before the Lord, and call on his holy name, and watch and pray continually. Be mindful of those needs around us. Be mindful of the evil that's around us. Be mindful of the things that takes away our time and steals it from us, that we aren't serving the Lord. That you may not be tempted above that which you can bear, that we might be steadfast, that we might be strong, that we might have spiritual strength, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord. Thank you. Oh, I want to read. No, I couldn't quit there. Thank you very much.